All right. Monroe, thank you for coming today and representing Habitat. And James, thank you. God gave you that direction to involve our church, our brotherhood, our men, and anyone else, really. It's not just limited to men, but anyone who wants to sling a hammer or sling a paintbrush or whatever, you know, we're going to take part in a bill come spring. And I appreciate that. I've been involved with that in some other churches. I want to tell you, that's the best time of fellowship you'll want to experience. And just be with some other guys and some other people, even from other churches, and just be able to work on a project together, knowing that project, that house, is going to be a great, great help in the ministry to other families. Thank you for being here today. You got all the rain shook off? Vicki, I appreciate you sitting there because you're right there. We've got a drip, and I asked Vicki to sit there with her hands like that and catch it. So if you see her hands filling up, you slide over and you give her your hands, okay? All right, we're going to conclude our series today on power praying. And I want to thank you for your presence here, the other three sermons. This is the fourth and final sermon today. We're going to look at the faith factor, all right? About praying in faith. And the prior two Sundays and then this Sunday, there's a little sticky note. And the purpose of this sticky note is, well, at the very first sermon, there was an index card, and I asked you to write a prayer on there that you really need God to come through for you. And I asked you to turn those in, and we tacked them up on boards out of the vestibule. And then the next two Sundays and today, God is already beginning. You're seeing God beginning to work on your prayer. He's answering your prayer or has answered. Would you give us an update for His glory? Write that down on your sticky note. Find your prayer card out there and stick it on there, okay? And I would appreciate that because I enjoy going out and reading those during the week. Some prayers have already been answered. Others, they're expressing their faith that God will answer, and others are expressing their faith that God has begun to answer in little ways. Okay, this morning, we're going to look at the faith factor. When it comes to experiencing God's power through prayer, there's one ingredient that more people, I think, know about than any other ingredient, and that is faith, all right? I believe even new Christians, those who are relatively new to Christianity, or maybe even wouldn't consider themselves Christians, they seem to know when it comes to prayer, you've got to believe. You got to believe in God. You got to believe there's a God who hears our prayers, and there's a God who will answer our prayers as well. Why is that so widely believed? For Christians, it's because of some things that Jesus said. I'm going to take the very first part of this sermon and share with you, trying to give a foundation of faith, of praying in faith. And then we're going to look at a gentleman by the name we've mentioned every Sunday in this series. His name is Elijah. First of all, let's look at there's promises been made about faith, the promise of faith. Let's take a look at what Jesus had to say about this. First of all, we're going to look at a scene where Jesus is talking with his disciples and they're under a fig tree, all right? In Matthew 21, 18 through 22, in the morning as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but leaves. It really wasn't time for the tree to produce figs yet. We know that. And Jesus said to the tree, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the Bible says the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled. I think that's a tame word for what they just saw, don't you? They marveled at what happened. And they said, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, listen to this, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith." Now, if that doesn't make you think faith matters, Here are some other words of Jesus we find in John 14, 12 through 14. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name." All right, there's the qualifier. You got to remember that. That's why we pray at the end of prayers in Jesus' name. All right. "Whatever you ask for in my name, this I will do." And here's the reason: that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. All right, one more scripture. Matthew 17, 20 through 21. Jesus said to them, his disciples, it's like he's speaking to us today too, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed," the smallest seed there is, okay, "you can say to this mountain," he's repeating himself, "move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So the point I'm making here from the mouth of Jesus, the words of Jesus, over and over and over again, he made the same point, many times using the same example, like with the mountain, okay? He's saying through prayer you can accomplish anything, because I'm willing to do whatever you ask in my name and my will. You can even move mountains. All it takes is faith. If you were to go home this afternoon, this old cold rainy day, you go to your concordance, you go to the New Testament portion of this word, faith. Just stick to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look up the word faith. Look up those scriptures. Many of them will be there. Someone's come to Jesus for healing. Someone's come to Jesus for something that only he can do in their lives. And he does it, and he says, "Because of your faith, it's done. Because of your faith, I'll do this. Because of your faith, because of your faith, because of your faith." Okay? So evidently, faith is a pretty big deal for Jesus to do works and answer our prayers. You think? Let me share with you a story of Billy Graham. And maybe you have something similar, not exactly the same details, but the time factor, all right? I know in our family, we waited 30 years for God to answer a prayer. Before communism collapsed, some of you weren't even born when communism fell, okay? The Soviet Union had one official religion. You know what that religion was? And that's a religion, okay? Atheism, because they believe a God doesn't exist, all right? The country was closed to the West and certainly closed to Christianity. Billy Graham had a chance to visit the Soviet Union and travel as a tourist in 1959. He went to the famed Lenin Stadium, which held 100,000 people, and there Billy Graham prayed that God would one day allow him to come back to Russia and make Jesus Christ known to the Russian people. And he kept praying that prayer over and over and over again, believing that God would answer that prayer. It seemed that it would be the one prayer that he would never see answered, because he prayed it so long. Communism was too strong, and the resistance against Christianity was just absolutely too great in that atheistic country. And then it all happened. Suddenly, communism collapsed. The Soviet Union was no more, and Billy Graham was able to return to Russia. It took 33 years, but the area was closed to the message of Christ. That area was suddenly flung open, and he was able to hold a crusade. Guess where? Lenin Stadium. Not to 100,000 people, but twice that many. An event that anyone would have said would have been impossible, but he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ in every sense of the word and believed that God would answer his prayer. And thousands came to know Jesus Christ. Jane and I prayed for a family member for 30 years. Well, she did for 30 years. And then when we were married, I joined with her for many years for a family member to quit drinking, an alcoholic. And then suddenly one day after 30 years for her, it happened. But she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. So let's look at this thing for a moment about what faith is. All right? The principal word in the New Testament means to believe in something, to have confidence in something, to trust in something. So faith then, if I had to define it, is a state of believing, a state of trust, a state of confidence. It's not just trust or confidence. Really, in general, I can have faith and trust in about anything, right? And it not be faith. Faith is trust and confidence in something or someone that's not dependent on our senses, something we can't see or hear or taste or smell. Or it may be just information that we have at hand that we're going to have confidence and trust and faith in. Or in realities and circumstances that we're in. Hebrews 11:1 is the best definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. The conviction that I can't see it happening yet, but I believe it is. I believe God's going to do it. If I hope for something, that means it's not here yet. If I can't see it, then it's not currently in front of me. I can have trust. I can have confidence. I can even have belief like if I had a chair, in this chair right here, okay? When I sit in it, it's not a matter of faith. It's confidence, it's belief, it's trust, but it's not faith because faith is different. Faith is when trust and confidence and belief are called for when they wouldn't naturally be present. It's like, I believe there's going to be a chair there tomorrow when there's not one here today that I'm going to be able to sit in. All right, does that make sense? It's a settled conviction, a trust, a confidence. It is holding God's hand and trusting Him to lead us no matter what happens, no matter where He takes us, no matter how long. It's saying, God, I don't understand it all. I don't see how this is going to happen. I don't see how it's going to work. But I have trust in the one who does, and that's you. I have total trust in you, God. Now, why is faith important? That's the third thing I want to say about this. Why does that kind of faith matter? Why does it matter to God? Well, there's an interesting line in the New Testament about a city. Matter of fact, it's the hometown where Jesus went back to visit. And Jesus visited in his hometown. He went to that little town, that city, where nothing much happened, all right? And if you know anything about the life of Jesus, that's rare. Wherever he went, people came out wanting him to do things. But what happened here? What happened in Nazareth? Matthew 13, verse 58. One verse I want to read to you. He spent time there, and of all the time, listen what happened. He did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. He didn't do much because of their lack of faith. Now, one way of reading that is to take it at face value. Jesus just simply chose not to do anything there because of their lack of faith. That's a key principle throughout the Bible, okay? That God chooses to work in participation with our choices. If we choose to have faith, that gives Him fertile ground, all right? If we don't choose to have faith, He may not do much. He limits Himself in accordance with our responses and our faith, which is why the faith of prayer matters so much. Because of their lack of faith that day Jesus was in their town, they didn't give Jesus the opportunity to do any miracles. Meaning that because of their hard hearts, they didn't bring any of their sick for Him to heal. They didn't bring any others. Nobody came to be healed. They didn't come to Him with any areas where they needed His power. And thus, their lack of faith translated into not coming to Jesus for miracles. So He didn't do any, or not many anyway. Faith is not what fuels God. The prayer of faith is not taking a bottle and rubbing it till a genie appears, okay? It's not saying the magic words. Remember what we just read. It wasn't that Jesus could not do many miracles. He wouldn't do many miracles. He chose not to do many miracles. Faith is what invites God. Hebrews 11, once again, but skipping down to verse 6. Without faith, you've heard it, I've said it a million times from this pulpit. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God, whoever wants to come close to God, must believe, number one, that He exists. Number two, He's going to reward those who seek Him. So the Bible teaches that only true belief, true faith, can form the basis for an absolutely authentic relationship with God. If you aren't willing to have faith in God, if you aren't willing to truly trust Him, then it's not much of a relationship. It's not a deep relationship, is it? So now we're going to go into the prayer of faith. We're going to look at it. We're going to get a good example of it, the prayer of faith, and we're going to look at one man in particular. And you know who he is? We've mentioned him from James chapter 5 for the last 3 weeks. We will today. Starts with an E and ends with an H. Elijah, all right? Now, one of the good things about studying about Elijah, and we're going to go to 1 Kings 18 in just a minute, all right? Is that this guy, if there's anything about him, despite the miracles and all this guy understood prayer. I mean, he knew what prayer was all about. He knew what to do. And when you don't see an answer to prayer, even when he didn't see an answer to prayer, in fact, Elijah is used in the New Testament as the prime example from the whole Bible of how we ought to pray. Here's the verses again from James 5, 16 through 18. The prayer of a righteous person, it has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature. He was a human being, a man just like us. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. In 1 Kings 18, by the time you get to 1 Kings 18, Elijah had already been called to the prophet ministry. He went and told the wicked king Ahab, because of your unbelief and your lack of faith, your adultery and worshiping other gods, God is going to prove himself to you. He's not going to let it rain until he gives me the word. So 3.5 years later, it hadn't rained yet, okay? The nation of Israel has experienced a 3.5 year drought. There are 3-year-old children who have never seen a raindrop. There are 3-year-old kids who've never made a mud pie. They've never played in the rain. And now in this situation, this crisis situation, God speaks to Elijah. And in 1 Kings 18, the first two verses, we read this. After many days, 3.5 years, the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, go show yourself to Ahab. Go speak to the king again, and I will send rain upon the earth. I will cause it to rain. So Elijah went to speak to him. He went to show himself to Ahab. And then it just says, now the famine was severe in Samaria. I would think so, wouldn't you? Now we're going to skip down to verse 41 in 1 Kings 18, all right? And there's already been a big contest between the false prophets and those who worship a false god and Elijah. And God proved himself to be God before everybody. And now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, get ready, eat and drink, for there's the sound of a rushing of rain. There's a heavy rain coming. So Ahab went to eat and to drink, and Ahab went to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth, and he put his face between his knees. That's an unusual way to pray. It doesn't matter. He's praying. And he said, Elijah said to his servant, go up on top and look toward the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, there's nothing. Sky's clear. Sunny, hot day. And he said, go back. And he did, and Elijah did that a total of 7 times. He told the servant to go up and to look across the sea, okay? The 7th time, the Bible says, the servant came back and said, behold, there's a little cloud like a man's hand, about the size of a cloud, maybe the first cloud they've seen in 3 years, okay? And it's rising up from the sea, way out in the distance. There on the far horizon, there's a little bitty cloud. And Elijah said, now go to say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, get the horses teamed up to it, and leave, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and with wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab left and rode to Jezreel. That's a great story. The whole chapter of 18, 1 Kings, is a great story. Now, did Elijah use his physical ears to hear the rain? No. The storm wasn't even on its way yet. There wasn't even that one little cloud in the sky yet. There was no physical indication of rain. Nobody else was hearing rain. This was something God was allowing Elijah to hear. It was something that Elijah knew one day God's going to cause it to rain. And then that day, he just knew. He knew in his spirit. If you want to be effective in prayer, to pray the prayer of faith, if you want to be effective, you must listen. You got to listen for God, for what God wants to do, but he's not doing it yet. Okay? If you pray a prayer like that, you're praying for something or for somebody, but it hasn't happened yet. You're praying and you're praying. When Elijah was in this drought, even though he knew God was behind the drought, Elijah suffered just like everybody else. He had to hunt for water. But through it all, he knew one day, God gives me the word, it's going to rain. It's going to rain again one day on God's calendar, and it's going to pour down, and the drought's going to be over. One day, can I tell you what was true for Elijah years ago? It's still true for you and me because God doesn't change. We all go through droughts and we all suffer at times because of them, but we can know one day, there's a day on God's calendar that a rain from heaven is coming. It's going to come into your life. It's going to come into my mind, my life. And God's going to answer that prayer. And the rain is going to pour down again. And the drought will be over and the blessings will come. We're talking about faith. Do you believe that? But the first step to that is we got to pay attention to God. We got to spend some time with God. We got to be still as we sang this morning. We need to listen to God. Elijah listened and he said, there's the sound of a heavy rain. I don't see it yet. There's not a cloud in the sky. In fact, the sun is just as high and hot as ever. Elijah and his servant were walking along and you could hear the crunch of the dead grass under their feet. Dust was flying up into the air every step that they took. It was so dry, 3 years without rain. But in the middle of all of this, Elijah says, whoop, it's going to rain today. God's going to send the rain today. He was saying, right now there's nothing. But on the other side of nothing, I hear something. In faith, with my spiritual ears, I hear something. I hear a heavy rain. Now, some of us here perhaps are in a drought now, right now, today. Maybe the enemy is even on your shoulder and he's whispering to you, man, you're done. You're finished. You'll never get over this. You'll never get healed. Your marriage will never get any better. Your kids are going to fail. You're going to die in that drought. But if you listen to God, I say if you listen to God, and something's going to rise and it's going to say, I don't think so because I hear rain coming. The blessings are going to flow again, so I'm going to keep on trusting God. Fooey on you, devil. And God's going to answer my prayer. Elijah said, I hear the sound of a heavy rain. Well, what did he do next? He started praying for what he heard was coming. Verse 42. Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel and he bowed himself down on the earth and he put his face between his knees. Elijah walked to the top of Mount Carmel and he bowed low to the ground and he prayed with his face between his knees. He goes to a lonely place where it's just he and his servant and he bows down and he starts to pray. Had God already told him the rain was coming? Yes. Had Elijah heard the sound of heavy rain with his spiritual ears with his heart? Yes. He had faith God was going to send that rain. Did Elijah know for sure that it was God's will for it to rain? Yes, there was no doubt in his mind. He knew that's what God was going to do. But did Elijah still have to pray for it? Yes. Well, why, if he already knew that it was God's will and it was definitely going to happen, why bother praying? Can I give you the best pastoral answer I know? That's just the way God works. You know, I can't really explain it. That's just what God has chosen to do. And guess what? What God chooses to do, He does. Even if it's God's, when it's God's will to do it, He waited till Elijah prayed and then the heavy rain came. Elijah didn't see the answer right away. Elijah climbs to the top of Mount Carmel. He bows down. He begins to pray. And finally, he's done praying. And he tells his servant, go to the very top of the mountain. Look out over the sea. Tell me what you see. And he came back and said, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Six more times he told the servant to do that. Five out of those six more times he came back and said, nothing's changed. There's still nothing out there. You know, this is getting pretty old, Elijah, going back and forth like this when there's nothing out there. Can we call it quits? No. Go back and look. And he did. Nothing, 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 nothing. And then on the seventh time he came back. There's this little bitty cloud out on the horizon over the sea there. The Bible says Elijah was a man just like you and me. Maybe he's wondering too, like you and I would. What's going on? Why is it taking so long? What you don't hear Elijah say is, this prayer thing really doesn't work, does it? God must not be interested. He doesn't care about the lack of rain. No. Elijah, when he saw nothing, he simply went back to praying. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And Elijah doesn't allow the outward circumstances to affect his inward assurance. And when it seems like God's not moving, when it seems like God's not answering, when time after time after time, prayer after prayer after prayer, he gets what? He gets nothing. He doesn't get disgusted. He doesn't give up. He doesn't throw in the towel. He doesn't say, that's it, I'm done with this thing. What does he do? He prays. It doesn't seem like God's working, so he continues to pray. He continues to have faith. He continues to have trust when all the outward signs prove otherwise. And that leads to the next point, the last point. If you want to be effective in prayer, the prayer of faith, don't stop praying if you see nothing. You do what Elijah did. You hold on to faith. You go back to praying some more, because time after time, that's what Elijah did. The first six times, nothing. Would you have quit? Chances are I may have thought about it if I didn't do it. I guess God changed his mind. I didn't hear him right. Something. But here's the promise we have from God. If we continue to pray and do not give up, one of these times after you pray and look, you're not going to see nothing. You're going to see something. There's a spiritual principle here, because on the other side of nothing, there is something. So many times you'll pray and at first you'll see nothing. And maybe you'll pray again and you see nothing. And you pray again, you'll see nothing. And then you quit because this obviously isn't working. God's not going to do it. But Elijah said, you better get ready. Get the umbrellas, get the boats, get the life vests, because this is going to be a heavy rain. In fact, go tell King Ahab he better hitch up his horses to his chariot. He better ride fast, because he won't be able to go once it starts raining. Why did Elijah react like that? Because he knew that on the other side is nothing. On the other side of nothing is not only something, but there's everything. Everything you need. Everything God wants to bless you with. And God knew that after, Elijah knew that after a 3-year drought, we need more than a little shower. We need more than a little sprinkling. We need more than a little drizzle. We got to have a heavy rain now. That's what he was praying for. And with his heart of faith, he heard it. He heard the sound of the rain, not the sound of a light shower. He knew what was coming. A heavy rain is coming. And when you pray for some matter that's vitally important to you, it may take a lot longer to get here than you expect. For us, one of it was 30 years, as I said. For Billy Graham, it was 33 years. And you may have to pray seven times. You may have to pray 70 times for it to come. It may look small when it finally does come, but when it does come, it's going to be everything you need from God. Now, on the other side of nothing is everything you need. That's why James said, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and it's effective. And so many times when we're down in the dumps and we feel like God is not working, we think He's not doing anything, it's because we see nothing. That's when we need to remember the prayer of a righteous, of a saved person, the prayer of a Christian is powerful and effective. So here's my question for you. What have you quit praying for? What have you just given up on that you think God is never, ever going to answer? What is it? Will you start praying for that again? But this time, will you begin praying with faith? Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for the absolute conviction to know for certainty of things I can't see. Father, I want to thank You for today. I want to thank You, God, as we complete this series on prayer. Lord, how this sermon, above all the others, blessed my heart. To see a man of faith and a man of prayer, combining those two together, how he prayed in faith, that God, You would send rain one day. And he didn't give up. He continued to pray and he continued to believe and he continued to trust. And God, without faith and without trust in You, You're not pleased with us. You don't smile. So God, we want to put a smile on Your face and we're just going to believe. Not only in You and Your character and Your person, but You're a God of Your promises and that You will answer. Now bless this time of decision in Jesus' name. Amen. As we conclude, we're going to stand and sing. And as always, it's the time, if you made any decisions, whatever they may be, to join this church, to be saved, just to come and to pray. You may just want to pray here. You may want to pray in your seat. God, you know, that prayer that I've given up on, God, you know, when I quit having faith that You would answer that, I'm going to pick it up again, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe. Because You're a God I can believe in. Will You come as we sing? Let's stand.